And the entire church. Are you going down? Okay, thank you. If you remain standing, and so let us pray together. Oh, our Father, as we hear your word, we ask for it to come with power. And we ask for it to be the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the truth of the gospel, and the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would give that unto us. Even though I feel myself unready, unworthy, you'd speak because of Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed upon the cross, that you would have pity upon your people for Christ's sake. Help us to speak your gospel. Help us to preach it. Help this church to be changed and to be transformed into the image and into the likeness of Christ, into something that is pleasing unto you. And spread your gospel and your name forward in this community for his name's sake. Our Father, we pray unto you, and we lean upon you. We ask you, we beg you, and to come down and to visit us for Christ's sake alone. Let not man be praised, but let all the glory and all the honor, may it go unto you. And may people see Jesus Christ in his glory. May our eyes and our heart be fixed upon him, our King, our Lawgiver, our Prophet, our Priest, our Savior, because he will surely save us if we but look to him. Help us to see and turn our hearts for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. We thank you. Amen.
Amen.
So you may be seated, please. And in the book of Isaiah, in chapter number 33, I should have asked you to stand as we read the word of God, but it's fine. I hate to make people up and down. And I only want to read from one verse. It's Isaiah chapter number 33, and it's in verse number 22. And I want to thank the pastor here. Thank you, sir. The church and your warm welcome. I am but a man. I'm a messenger of God by his grace. But everything I have to give you is in his word, the Bible. And everything that any man has to give unto your soul is in the Word of God, it's in the Bible, that's in your lap. It's not in our prophecies, it's not in our visions, it's not in our dreams, it's in the Bible, it's in the Word of God. It isn't in our personality either, it's the Holy Spirit is your teacher. The only reason that you and I will understand anything I have to say this morning inside of our hearts is because of God. Let no man glory in his presence. Let no flesh ever glory in his presence. Is there anybody here who cannot understand me? Because I know my accent is a bit different. Is there anybody here that can't pick my English If you're sitting next to a person who cannot pick my English, every so often as I pause, is you whisper unto them, that's what I'm saying. In Isaiah chapter number 33, verse number 22, is the way of salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what the gospel is all about. For the Lord is our judge, our master, our ruler. And the Lord is our lawgiver, our prophet, our priest. The Lord is our king. And it's upon these terms he says he will save us. He will save us is the title of this message.
Amen. Amen.
That is an absolute certainty. But these are the terms of his salvation. When God Almighty, as to when he gives his salvation unto chosen sinners, unto people he's chosen beforehand, he gives his salvation on his terms. He is a God who does not budge. If it's possible, on the men with the cameras, if you stand on the side here and here, and then everyone is able to see me clearly. I want them to be looking into your eyes as I'm preaching. He will save us on his terms without budging. Our God, he is not a God who compromises. He is not a God of negotiation. He gives us his terms in salvation, and we will bow unto his terms in Jesus Christ, or we'll enter into the lake of fire and will perish forever. He is kind and gracious. He's merciful and compassionate. He is a forgiving of our sins. But the Bible says that the gate is narrow and it is pressed. It is tight. It is very difficult. It's not wide. It is straight and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and there are few who find it. This Bible, it talks about a way and a road unto salvation by bowing unto the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The prophet Moses, he told us that after me, that God was going to raise up a prophet like unto me of your brethren. Him shall you hear in all things that he tells you, and anyone who does not hear shall perish from among the people. So what I'm saying is that there are no negotiations with God. How do we find out what he has to say unto us? It's in the Bible. It is not in the word of your prophets. The biggest problem with Israel, it was her prophets. Her external enemies came because her internal enemies were actually ruling over the people, the false prophets. The greatest danger in Nigeria is not the Boko Haram. It is not death. It is the false prophets. I can go into Maiduguri by God's grace. Because in measure I do not hear death. I believe what the apostle says, that to die is gain. I really believe that, and I want to even better. Because our hope is in heaven, and the kingdom of God is not of this world in any way. It's okay to do good works unto people, to feed them, to house them. Our particular team, our ministry, we do medical missions. We're going to be doing one in our co-founder's hometown for next month, and I enjoy that. We get to preach unto the people. There'll be thousands there, I hope. But we do medical mission because of our compassion. It's our outreach of the gospel. It's a means of preaching Christ. But the healing of our body through a doctor is not the ministry of the gospel. It is not the promise of God that me and you will have a healthy body. And I ask you to turn, please, into the book of 2 Chronicles in chapter number 18. And I want to give you a warning as I proceed further into this message. And so I hope that the first thing is established, that there is no compromising, there is no arguing, there's no abandoning of the Word of God, there is no changing of the gospel. I spoke with a man from last night, and he's one of the preachers over at the conference with Pastor Miracle. And we were coming in our discussion, I hope and trust, into the agreement that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit must go together. Our joy must be ordered by the Word of God. I must be and you as happy as possible according unto scriptural conduct. And if the Word of God is taken away and all we have is the Spirit, it's not the Spirit of Christ, is it? It's a delusion. And that's what's happening here unto Ahab. Is the prophet Micaiah has come unto Ahab and he's told him the way of God and the Word of God, that you are not to go out into this battle because you will lose and it will cost you his life. But he did not want to hear it. And so he had a legion of false prophets. And that's just how it is. It was that way in the days of Elijah. He stood up on Mount Carmel all by himself, and it was 850 of the false prophets, and he did not care because God, he answered him by fire. And he still comes down in the fire of the Holy Spirit and the truth of the gospel, and he gives it unto men and unto women to stand forward and teach and preach and testify of the grace of God that's in our Lord Jesus Christ without fear and faith. I fear no man if I'm in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's not a spirit of fear. Or timidity. He's a spirit of courage and boldness. But it's not a self-strength. I'm a coward in the flesh, in things of God. And left unto myself, I will run away, and I've been there, and I have done it. But strengthened by God, I'll stand in front of any man, even unto the death. Our strength is not in ourselves. Our gospel is not in our own power. It's not a pep talk. What is faith? It's a helpless soul relying upon God according to His word. It's a person that's naked that is coming unto Him or dressed. Clothe me in the righteousness which Christ died for, in the righteousness of God by faith alone. It's a man without strength saying, give me strength and you be my strength so I can preach the gospel and obey you and live the Christian life. But Ahab, is he did not want that message of the message of grace in Christ. He wanted to go his own way. And so the Lord God said that he was going to send some false prophets into his mouth to prophesy unto him lies that he might be destroyed. It's in 2 Chronicles in chapter number 18, verse number 20, verse number 21. Is the Lord God was asking, let me start in verse number 18. Then Micaiah said, therefore, since you won't hear what God has to say, since you're compromising, since you're making up your own terms, it's your own Bible interpretation, you don't care as to what it really says, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. That's where he is. And all the host of heaven standing on his right side and on his left. Before Calvary, even the devils, as they had access into heaven, but now that they have been cast down by the blood of Christ, the accuser of the brethren has been cast down. But what God is actually saying is here, is he has a control over the good and the evil. Over what happens as to which we like and over what happens which we don't like. And I'm going to take my time here this morning. I have the pastor's permission. Job, he never complained about Satan. Even though God, he used this Satan to accuse and to afflict his servant Job. He sent Satan by his permission because he could not touch Job without God's permission. And the false prophets are in Nigeria by the permission of God. But I fear, and I'm telling you something here, it's because men and women in Nigeria have rejected the word of God that came unto you in the early missionaries, and we have gotten into the flesh. And our religion is not Bible, it's Papa, is what the prophet says, and if it feels good, I'm going to do it. And it doesn't matter if the Bible is taken out of its context and twisted, as long as the Papa, hey, I decree, I declare, I've seen in the spirit realm, in Jesus' name, it shall not happen unto you, you shall not die. And everyone says amen. Judgment of the wrath of God. That's a deception. It's a lie. It is not how the apostles preach. Now, can you imagine that? Paul preaching like that? It is not how our Lord Jesus Christ preached. He just stood up and preached the word of God and told them, you're going to suffer, except you take up your cross and deny yourself. If you love mother, father, sister, brother more than me, you're not worthy of me. Except you hate your family. I don't do cultural Christianity in America, in Europe, in Mexico, in Nigeria, in Kenya, in Ghana. It does not exist. Cultural Christianity is rebellion. The only Christianity that we practice is Bible. It doesn't matter what is the norm in Nigeria. What does God say? If we fear God. And that's a free life. Because all of the rules of men are just bondage. If you know the truth, it'll set you free. It is women in Nigeria can't even get married again if their husband leaves them and is in bed with another woman. She's still supposed to stay single and to wait on him even after he has remarried. What bondage and cruelty. That's cultural religion. Give it up. Let's get back unto the Bible.
And he'll set the captives free. Honor your husbands and love your wives, but be Bible-based in all of your thinking and teaching. Not Nigerian, but Christian. Verse number 19, and the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab, the king of Israel, to go up, that he may fall? I'm going to kill him. I've warned him. I've told him the truth. I'm the lawgiver, but he won't listen. And so he may fall at Ramah Gilead. And so one spoke on this manner, and another spoke on that manner. And then, verse number 20, a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord. He's asking permission. The devil in his own way has to ask permission to do anything. So stop praising the devil by giving him your fear and attention, and be like Job and deal only with God. I know that the devil exists, but he's not my problem. My problem is my own unbelief and my refusal to connect with God Almighty. My problem is trying to fight the devil myself instead of realizing I'm helpless. I'm a sinner. And I need the help and the tender mercy of God Almighty Himself. And if I humble myself before the Lord, He'll lift me up. And you resist the devil steadfast in the faith. That's in the gospel, that's according to scripture, with your eyes on God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. He's our mediator. Let me ask you a question. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? We hear the man talking up front and he blah, blah, blah. And then he's saying, in Jesus' name. This man, quite recently, I heard him preach. Unfortunately, I was in his presence. It boils my blood, but it helps me learn that I need the Holy Spirit, and it helps me learn what are the issues that I need to deal with as a preacher of the gospel here in Nigeria. But this man said this. If you ask God for anything that you want, just as long as you have enough faith,
you will get it in Jesus' name. And the crowd went wild. Is that true? You married, sir? I want your wife in Jesus' name. Is he going to give it? Because it's contrary unto the will and unto the word of God. And his other pastor said, well, if the thing that you really want, if you want it from a pure heart, is that true? I can want to be married with a pure heart for God's glory and die single. If I ever learn the gospel, I'll truly learn it is better to be single if you can. I know that's not in Nigeria. But that's 1 Corinthians 7. It's Bible. Because unfettered, all you single people, huh? If you lift your hands up, wow. We're the single men. I mean, it's a whole row, you know. Nothing but young ladies. If you read your Bible, being single is better because you can give yourself completely unto God. And I had to learn that the hard way. But now, I'm content. I have my desire. I have my prayer. But I know that if I give my life to Jesus Christ alone, I'm fulfilled and thrilled. I may have my moments of being lonely. Everybody does, even if you're married. But the gospel is sufficient if we make it our life. Huh? It's Bible. So you don't have to feel less than just because you're single. Feel privileged. That's the spirit of the Lord, and it's liberty, and it's according unto his word. And so the spirit came and said, I will persuade Ahab. He's going to fall according unto your will, and I'm going to do it. And the Lord said to him, in what way? And so he said, I will go out here now and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that the devil has to come and ask permission, even if he's not saying please, just by being allowed unto do it, he has to get his permission from God in order to deceive anybody? Do you believe that's what the Bible says? It's so contrary unto our thinking that even though we see it with our own eyes, we cannot even believe it still. And that's why he sends a preacher. Not because I have anything new to say. I have nothing new to say. Anything new is false. The Bible was written 2,000 years ago, and it is finished. It's because I have eyes to interpret and a mouth to speak. That's the job of the interpreter. As you hear the king's dream in the Old Testament, and you approach God, and God gives you an understanding of what he's going to do, but now we have our Bible. And a student of the Bible is the only way to be a preacher. And I'm in Nigeria. And I love you people. I shed my blood here. I will die for you to hear the gospel quite willingly. But I go places preaching. And you got the young preacher boys. And you're like this. But they don't crack open their Bible. All they want to do is to be like Papa with all power and stand and declare. Hey. I decree, I release you. Man can release you. God has you by. The only thing that sets you and I free is knowledge. Knowledge of the gospel, the truth of the gospel shall set you free. And I need to know that Satan is controlled by God if I'm going to have any peace and know how to fight him. I'm not going to go into the river, God, if I'm going to cross the river. I'm not going unto Papa. I'm going unto my Bible and unto any man who can open it and interpret it properly in the power of the Holy Spirit. That means his conduct and character, even as he's preaching, has to be according unto the message. The man has to be nothing, and Christ must be everything. As a Christian, Christ is all. Anybody that's ever heard him knows it. Christ is all. Anybody that's ever been a sinner and obtained mercy knows it. Christ is all. I obtained mercy, Paul said. I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was injurious. I was on my way to hell, but I obtained mercy. And as to why me and not somebody else? How many people were there with the Apostle Paul when the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" It was a whole band of people in Acts 9. But only one could hear the voice and could see him that was shining brighter than the noonday sun. That's election. God Almighty comes to people he's chosen beforehand and breaks open your empty heart, casts out the devil, enters in himself, and sets up his throne as your lawgiver, as your king, as your ruler, as your priest, as your Lord. And you bow to him and you say, "Yes, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for having mercy upon me. It was you. It was all you. It was you alone. But now I'm going to live for your glory." That's the way it happens. Every single time. It's election, and it's by special revelation. And so the Lord, as he said unto him at the end of verse 20, "In what way? How are you going to persuade Ahab unto do what I have appointed? He must fall. He's resisted my messengers. He's resisted the gospel of God's grace. I sent him Elijah. I sent him Micaiah, and he still won't listen. He still won't hearken. He has paid attention unto his wife Jezebel and slain a righteous man over his vineyard. This is an evil man. I cannot do anything with him but destroy him. The time is determined. My purpose must not be stopped. How are you going to persuade him to fall?" And so he said, I can picture him on meek and tender. "I will go out and be what?" Oh, you got your Bible open? "I will go out and be what? A lying spirit where? In the mouth of who? All his prophets. Everyone that speaks unto him. As many as they are." And they're going to outnumber Micaiah by 800-1. And I'm going to make them all say the same thing. If you read in this particular text, is the big false prophet, is he had a PowerPoint message. Is he got the horns of the altar or the ram or something, and he said, "With these you shall push and you shall prevail." He was so exciting. And he was such an eloquent speaker, and he was so entertaining and so captivating, but he's been given by God unto the destruction of Ahab.
So do not listen unto numbers. Don't pay any attention unto how big it is or everybody's doing. Pay attention unto the Bible. And when your prophet, that's in quotes, that's when your preacher, is he gets done preaching, every text he quotes, is you go back and you read it in its context and you make sure it's what the Word of God says. That's what the Bereans did, and Paul called them more noble. Am I right? He didn't say, who are you to question me? I release my anointing or I take it away. Don't you question me. I'm the prophet. I'm the daddy. I'm the papa. And I will curse you. And you lose all your blessings. And if you leave my ministry, you shall die. It's the God, he cannot prosper you any other way except through my mouth. Now bow down and kiss my hand. And hope I forgive you. No, Paul said, you got your Bibles? Look up as what I said after I'm done. And see if it's true. I trust you with the Word of God, my message that comes out of my mouth, because that's where I got it. I bet my life on it, my everlasting soul on the things I'm preaching or Bible. And they're right in front of your face.
Now don't play games with the Word of God. My soul is on the line just like yours. He said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, Jehovah Almighty, our Lord Jesus Christ, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out, you have my permission, and do so. Is that the God of the Bible? Is that who God is? Have you ever heard of him? In the book of 2 Thessalonians 2, the Apostle Paul, he picks up this same message. 2 Thessalonians 2. And so what I'm talking about is the Lord is our lawgiver. He's our judge. He's our king. And we have to believe the message according unto the Bible. And whatever the Bible says about God, that's who he truly is. And we are not to be deceived, we are to believe. And if we have to throw away our experiences, then throw them away. Let's talk a minute about speaking in tongues. Because I have a friend, it's an Uyo. I've never met her, but the last I heard is she's engaged under this other man that is my brother in Christ, and he's a good man, and he's a faithful man. And he actually comes and helps us in medical missions. He helps with the teaching. Everybody that gets any medication, you get to hear the gospel too. And that's more important. But she said, after months of my interacting with her, and this poor woman, as to when I met her online, she was on Facebook, she was in such bondage and slavery unto her problem. He had turned her into a housemaid.
He was scared unto do anything or to say anything to him. When he started unto look into the scriptures, and the captive was set free. But because all the work has been done by Jesus Christ, he by his one offering has perfected forever as many as are being sanctified. And where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. What does that mean? That what Christ did on the cross, that one time, is enough unto make everyone that is being called unto him by God perfectly accepted and righteous in the sight of God forever. That means that I don't have to do nothing for myself. I don't have to try to dance my sin away. If I dance enough and I get happy enough, I forget about it. No, that won't work. It's still there. There's still a remembrance of sin. I don't have to try to pay my money. Oh, big sacrifice, my school fees. Your school fees? The Bible says, let a man give according as he has, not according as he has not. Don't put your school fees in the basket and say, I'm trusting God. He didn't ask you for it. He said, give as I blessed you. And if I bless you small, you give small. I bless you big, you give big. According as what's in your cheerful heart. Because you love me in faithfulness for my salvation. Our giving earns us nothing. It's Christ's giving that has given us everything. You understand? What he did upon the cross is so sufficient that any believer in this building has your sins taken away. They are gone forever through the precious blood of Christ. And God will not answer you for them again. He will not come looking for you. When the blood was on the door, they went free. But everybody in Israel, the firstborn son died all the way down unto the cattle. But the children of Israel, I've died already. There's already been a payment here for all my sin. The blood that was shed points to Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross when he took our sins into himself on the tree and was cursed for them by God Almighty. His soul was made an offering for sin. And he shall see his prevail and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. It pleased our Lord not to bruise him. Why? Because that's the only way to put away sin. And if you dance, it's because you forgive me. And it's in moderation. Not because I'm not the star of the show. It's he is. It's my dancing is unto the Lord like David. It's not unto man. Oh, help my preaching be that way. My people. But we are forgiven. There is no more offerings. What he did is enough, Mama. To have peace and access and entrance unto God through the blood of Christ. I've got a perfect relationship with God. I'm still growing. But my relationship, my standing, my acceptance, perfect. It's the only way I can survive. If there be any distance, any separation, any condemnation, any guilt, any shame, I cannot survive. I cannot thrive. I cannot do the work of the ministry. I cannot be happy. But when the blood is shed, it's cleansing my conscience. And when I know as to where to go after my sin, I'm going back. I'm never letting go of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, access unto God and forgiveness in spite of all my sin. And then help comes in His mercy unto sin. That's the question. That's the question. But you know what happens?
And it's here from 2 Thessalonians 2. This is what happened unto Nigeria. His men come preaching that, and the folks get tired of it. And the false prophets come because God says, I'm going to make them fall. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9 and 10 and 11 is the coming of the lawless one. The spirit of Antichrist is according unto the working of Satan. He's the master of all the false prophets and all of the lying signs and wonders under the authority of God. And he comes with all power, but his power to deceive is signs and lying wonders. Lying wonders. Listen to me as I talk about tongues.
Tongues, originally in the book of Acts, it was what? What does it mean to speak in tongues? It's in Acts chapter number 2. And the reason I laugh, you ought to be able to give an answer for things that you do. You ought to know what you do. You ought not just to be imitated. Acts chapter 2, that's what happened. As the Spirit came down, and a holy flaming fire of tongues upon everyone's head, that was actually something that could be seen. It was a real miracle. And in Acts 2, each person is speaking in a tongue, in a language that they never learned. And then the people all around them, the unbelieving Jews and the half-Jews or the proselytes, anybody that was there to worship at the temple heard them speaking in 17 different languages. And each of them said, how is it that these people are all from Galilee and we hear them speaking in our own tongue, in our own language in which we were born? Is that Acts 2? You don't believe me? After I'm gone, please read it. It's in verse number 5 through 11. 17 different languages. The speaking of tongues, which is not in Nigeria or America or Europe, is to be able to speak a language that you have never learned instantaneously and people be able to understand you in that language. If I could speak in tongues, I would be speaking in Hausa right now. That's why Paul went different places preaching and he did not need any interpreter. He said, I speak in tongues, in languages. If you hear tongue, think language. I speak in languages more than you all. But in the church of God, he says, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding. I'd rather speak 5 words that you can understand than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Now, that's not speaking in tongues. And even if it was, A person is to be quiet, he's to be silent in the church house if there be no interpreter. And so when you go to a place where everybody is speaking in tongues, and though it is not truly tongues, and they're all speaking at the same time, that's not the Spirit of God. I'm theatrical, I'm a little funny, but did you get the message? That's not the Spirit of God. It's a lying sign and wonder whose purpose is to deceive the people, to put their confidence in the flesh instead of in the Word of God that's in the gospel, and so that they hear the truth preached, and they hear it, and they know it's true, but their flesh says, I want to hear Hashira ba 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 ba, and I want to stand up because it feels good. And this woman from Uyo, the last thing that she had unto give up for her peace unto be full was the speaking in tongues. And the thing, as she told me, was it feels so good. And the thing I told her is that if it's not according to the Bible, you give it up. And you know what happened after she gave it up? I didn't get a phone call. I saw her online. She was testifying of Jesus Christ with such boldness that she sounded like a man. And I don't mean acting all hard and tough. I mean clarity and boldness. I had to ask her as to what you're writing. Did you quote that from another preacher or is that you? Sir, that's me, is what the Lord has been giving me. Her husband, a to be now, is a strong man in the gospel. I respect and admire him. He said she's stronger than me. Because she gave up that which was false and relied upon the Word of God alone. And God blessed her. And what I'm saying, if you give up the lying sign and wonder, God won't leave you. He will draw near. Your confidence, it will increase in the Word of God. It's your boldness, it will go up. Your peace and joy will increase for sure. Because you won't be holding on to a feeling in the flesh that's false. You'll be holding on to the Word of the invisible God, and that's faith. The faith is going to work by love. It's going to bring forth its fruit. And boldness, assurance, and peace is part of that fruit. That's why I don't have to tremble as when men are preaching. And Baba Hashiba, they tremble as when I'm preaching. Because I'm preaching the truth from the Word of God, and their conscience knows it.
Second Thessalonians 2, verse number 9, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Verse 10, and with all unrighteous deception, that's the false confidence, among those who perished, that's the consequence, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. They heard the gospel, they understood it was true, they knew it was the Word of God, but they did not want to give up on their flesh and on their playing and on their good time in the church house. It was like Israel as she danced in front of the golden calf. And the Lord God said, he's angry, put your sword on and go kill these people, your brothers. And verse 11, because they would not receive the love of the truth. As they went into Acts 2, and this is what I'm saying. If tongues was here, it would be happening as it's happening in Acts chapter 2. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is the same gift. And if there be an interpreter, it was used. If not, it was silence. Verse 11. And for this reason, God will send them what? What's that? Just a little bit louder, please. That's exactly what happened unto Ahab in 2 Chronicles. God will send them. God will send them. He said, I'm tired of it. These people are playing games. They do not want my truth in the gospel that my missionaries have brought unto them. They want unto do something else. Is they want something modern, is they want something updated, and they want something that feels good, but is not built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. It's fleshly worship, as though God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all might be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had what? Pleasure in unrighteous worship and false religion. Is that not what he said? We got to get right. We've got to repent of everything wrong in the house of God and worship him according unto his truth. We got no choice. We must do this. We must obey God. He is our lawgiver. He is our judge. He is our King. He's not just our Savior. And I get to do anything I want to and live how I want to and preach how I want to and worship how I want to. I got to do everything according unto what? The Word of God in the Bible. If it's not in there, don't practice it. Don't do it. Don't dare do it. Fear God. Fear God. Fear God. And give Him glory. This is His commandment. Fear God. And worship Him. Not yourself. Worship Him. He's the Almighty. He's our Master. He's our Maker. He's our Judge. He will judge us one day in everlasting hell, in everlasting damnation, or everlasting paradise. Is the consequence of this little bitty life right now. Fear God and worship Him in truth and spirit, or He's coming for you. He's coming. And He is the one that's sending the delusion and to make you deceive and fall if you resist this message. He's coming for you. And He's coming to take you there. Just like Ahab. It's not above God. It's according unto His ways. It's according as to how He acts in the New Testament and in the Old. And He will not let anybody be deceived by Satan apart from His permission. And if when He's had enough, and He's fed up with you, because they won't listen and they won't hear the truth. I swear to you on my everlasting soul, you will hear this message forever later. If you reject this message, as preached here this day, the Almighty God, He will remind you of hell forever. As Abraham said, remember unto the rich man as he was in hell. Remember. On earth, as you had all your good things, but you didn't pay attention to God. And now you're in this fire of torment. And I won't give you a drop of water. I can't. It's a great fixture in between us. I can't cross over
and you can't get back is forever. Remember. The conscience. That's what torments men in hell. As much as the flame or the fire is uncomfortable, and that's an understatement, the conscience of what I could have had if I listened unto that preacher who was telling me the truth, and I knew it was true at the time he said it. I just didn't want to give up my fleshly religion. I beg you. I beg you to cast it off and trust Christ. He'll make you happy. He will save us on his terms. He will forgive all of our sins. The things that are wrong here, and I haven't been here, but I'm preaching as what I know from experience. He will wipe them away with his flesh's blood, and he'll give you a new start, and you will be the only church in this neighborhood possibly. Yeah. Preaching the true gospel. Amen. And then your missionary journey, it will not be in vain. Yeah. It will be eternal in its consequence. And you'll have God, and he'll be working with you in the signs and wonders of a new soul, of a person being born again. Clothed in his right mind and bowed down unto worship God properly. And the singing and dancing and praising, it will be unto the Lord, and he will be approving of it. He's cleaned up everything in my life, and he's still cleaning. Every time I find sin, he cleans it up. Every time I need his help, he helps the poor sinner. He helps him. He helps somebody nothing. But Jesus Christ said, you don't have to be somebody to be saved by our Lord Jesus Christ. You just have to believe the Bible on his terms. He'll forgive you. He'll save you. He'll give you the power of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, if we stand, please. Almighty God, we pray unto you with thanksgiving that your word has been poured out and you've given us the blessed gospel. Make your Holy Spirit, Father, take it with power. As you've given it in the Spirit, it came from you. Now take it up by the Spirit back unto you in worship, in praise, in thanksgiving. And we give you, Father, all of the glory for opening our eyes and for coming unto us when we were in our bondage and helping us in our helplessness. Our Father, we were just like Paul, lost, a blasphemer, persecutor, injurious, and utterly worthless man. But you've made us worthy by your grace and mercy to be called the sons of God. Make us able to worship you and live without fear, and give us the benefits of trusting Christ for our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, be gracious and pour out your Spirit for Christ's sake. Let the people see your Son in his glory. Let them worship. Let us worship you in spirit and truth, in the truth of the gospel. Oh, let us stand uniquely for the gospel in this place. And may I be remembered as a messenger of God as they bring you glory and praise. For our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, Father, we pray with thanksgiving. If there's anybody here that you're dealing with, oh, Father, we pray that you deal with them until the end. Don't let them slip away.
Don't pronounce it judgment. Hold back your wrath. For Jesus Christ's sake, let them in the kingdom. Let them strive. Let them seek. Let them hunger and thirst. Let them pant after you. Let them follow you, Father, for Christ's sake. Show them mercy. For Jesus Christ's sake, we pray, Father. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.